Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Per se, but you know, there's so many podcasts out there. But just while you know, I'm sitting around, you know, homeschooling my kid, and but the wife's a key worker, so she's out. I thought I'd take advantage and do a couple of podcasts. Why not? Why not? Indeed.
Lovely.
Yeah. So let's. I'm gonna. What I thought I'd do something a little bit different. Try and get you guys, your podcasters, people, fabric of Spurs. Possibly as we go along, get you know a couple of the ex-players back on. People, trust people, people like that. Who you hear on all the podcasts every week, but don't really. You always ask other people, new guests. You know their views and how they got into Spurs and best players and all that and quite rarely do you actually get into the nitty gritty of yourself. So I thought we'd get into that. You know, irreverent conversation. Pass the minutes, as I say, Andy. But we'll see how
Thank
we get
you.
On. So let's start with first of all a question that the only real football question at the moment. Is what do you think we should do with regards to the season?
Honestly, I don't see the point in, you know, we're arguing about whether we cancel this season or not and, you know, delay next season. The best thing to do would be to finish this season as soon as you possibly can and then you amend next season. It's illogical to void a whole season. There's so many implications. You've got clubs that can't be promoted, clubs who've earned the right to be in Europe at the moment. And if you just reset it all back to the beginning of this season, you know, I couldn't in all faith go to a Champions League game next season with us being there and less than not. That's just wrong.
What do you think? I agree with you on that. Let's go a step. So I think everybody, you know, says that the fairest way to do it is to finish off this season. And then have a short break and then get into next season, okay? There's debates on whether you have European football or not, cut out the cup competitions or not. You know, that's you know part and parcel of, you know, back and forth. But what about this one? This is what I'm seeing quite a lot at the moment. This is the, we need to finish the season at all costs, even if it means next season doesn't take place. What are your views on that?
Yeah. If I'm honest, I think that is the logical step. We don't know how long it's going to take. And I think a lot of this discussion is driven by press and by clickbait and the need for clicks and for stories to be, you know, written because there's nothing else to say. But if I'm honest, it's not the most important thing. We don't know how long we're going to be in this situation. It could get more draconian. It could get worse. You know, and life is more important than football.
Sure. But the question is, what's more important, finishing this season or next season, starting from fresh? What's more important? And let me give you a situation. So if you're a side at the moment that's doing well, you're going to say this season is more important because naturally you would. If you're a club like Spurs and probably 10, 12, maybe 13 clubs in the Premier League, and again over the other leagues, you know, probably just over half the clubs, you know, for their own personal point of view, would say that they've had a bad season, maybe more than 50%, and they just go, "I'll scrap the whole thing." You know, in fairness. You've obviously got to say, no, that's not, although we want to forget this season, you know, in fairness, that can't happen. That's not fair. But
yeah.
I'll tell you what else isn't fair. You go, right, okay, we can't start the season. You know, they're not going to do the behind closed doors things because it's just the same. You know, how can you play a match in June with, you know, it's West Ham versus... whoever. And, you know, but West Ham has still got two players that are sent to me. They've got this player. The second team coach has got the, you know, so I don't know how that would work. So let's just say, right, this coronavirus thing is really, really cannot get people together before October, which is something that I think Henry Winter had said. He'd spoken to a medical guy and said, there's no way you can have social gatherings till at least October. So let's do best case scenario, right, October. You then say, okay, so you're going to do that. You've got to finish all the European, you've got to finish all the games, all this, that and the other. It runs through. And you're looking really at maybe February to get it all finished, because there's lots of games to be had, all right? Or they say no, you know, October till January, whatever. The fact is that they've decided they're going to finish this season and next season is scrapped. Okay, so we're sitting here next summer, so that's in 15 months time, right?
Yeah.
Here's the situation: Harry Kane is now 28, nearly 29, right? Heung-min Son is 28, 29. Jose Mourinho, although he hasn't played much football, he has been at the club for nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
You've got Jan Vertonghen, who's 35 by then, you know, probably got one. Jan Vertonghen right now is thinking, oh my God, if they scrap next season, that's it for me. Because he's probably actually thinking, you know what, I'll have one more season. At the top level anyway, then he might play, you know, go back to a mid-table Belgian side or an Anderlecht or whatever, you know, if you can get a contract, a decent one. So the trouble is, if you say, no, we must finish this season, what you're effectively saying is next season is scrapped. That will ruin a hell of a lot of players, fans, season, whereby what could happen, let me give you another scenario. We say, okay, look, we cannot finish this season. It's just physically impossible. You know, 18-year-olds can't take their A-levels. They can't take them. They can't do it. You know, they're not talking about taking them in January. There's no talk of that. They're saying that teachers are going to assess, they're going to look at their mocks, going to look at everything else, they're going to give the grades, and they're the grades they're going to go by, okay? That's the current thinking, as far as I understand it. So we go, right, okay, football must finish. We must finish this season. Liverpool, you are the champions, all right? And we can wind them up and we can joke, but we all know that they're champions. I mean, you're not real champions. They'll laugh in our faces. Of course, rightly so. You promote the two teams from each division, so Leeds come up and whoever else. You know, and again, you go, look, this is the only way we can do it. And anyway, the point is that we finish the season. Then we go, right, next season, we go, and then what you've got a case of, we've still got Harry Kane, we've still got, from a Spurs point of view, by the way, we've still got Son, we've got Jan Vertonghen for his last season, we've got Jose, who wants that, you know, wants this break and then wants that season. And then from a Spurs point of view, we do that. If we go the other way and do what Liverpool want, finish the season so we don't have next season, we are in big, big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. It's all well and good planning, but if, like you said, if we can't plan for anything until October, which is completely plausible, it's not scaremongering or, you know, or panicking, you know, there's no point in planning it now. There's no point. You've ruined the whole of next season if you don't start until October anyway. So what do you do to next season? Do you say, okay, look, every league in the world, you'll only play each team once. So then there'll be other people arguing about, well, you know, we played these guys at home or you played them away.
Well, I'd say get rid of the cups, or get rid of European football. I think definitely get rid of European football.
You'll never get rid of it because that's the biggest cash cow.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving everything.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So that's what they'll keep. If I'm honest, seriously, I'm thinking in 18 months, this will have been the catalyst for the breakaway. And it won't be a Champions League. It'll be, you know, the stony, you know, mega league or something like that, or, you know, some major corporate thing. And this will be we'll look back at this and say, well, that was where it started to all break up. If my opinion only, if sport's going to have any integrity, you scrap next season because it's not happened, and you finish this season.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion. Now, the logistics of it are going to be difficult. People are going to be out of contract. I think there'll be less implications to do that, and people going back to their host clubs if they're out on loan, etc., than there will be if we scrap this season.
Can you imagine if can you imagine if Italy decide, no, they're scrapping the season, and we go, well, no, we're going to carry on with our season? I mean,
exactly.
The implications of that. So I suppose it's got to be a UEFA decision in the end, because everybody's got to do it, haven't they? They can't go, well,
you would,
Spain and Italy are scrapping the season. England and Holland are going to go ahead with the season, and Germany are going to do a round robin in August.
Mm.
You know, 10 minutes each way to get their fit.
You know, it's absolutely unforeseen. You know, there's never been a situation like this in our lifetime. Okay, there was the war, but, you know, things stopped for 5, 6, 7 years. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
You know, but you know, it's a bigger, there's a bigger picture out there. And for once, football really doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, it doesn't. But you know, that's why we're here. We talk about it.
Of course.
And, you know, and one thing that really has annoyed me actually. And you know, we've had a debate there, Andy, and I can see your point of view, and hopefully you can see mine. Mine's just suggestions really, and as is yours. You know, not one Liverpool ex-player or anyone connected with Liverpool have come out and said, no, you know, it's a tricky one. I'm not sure. Actually, we did win the European Cup. We are the current world club champions. We have got 18 leagues already. I know we haven't won for 30 years, but you know what? You know, as current European champions and world club champions, the best club in the world at the moment, do you know what? I can see your point of view, and maybe for logistics' sake, maybe scrap the season and we'll start again. And do you know what? We're that good a team. We'll win it anyway, and we'll be double winners, and we'll do that way. No, no, not one Liverpool fan have said, Liverpool player or fan or anyone said that. No, we've got to finish the season because otherwise, blah blah blah, and it's like. Not one of you got a bit of humility about you? Not one of you maybe see it from
but
the
Steve,
other side?
If we were in that position, Steve, then the Tottenham, you know, Twitterati would be the same.
Well, what wouldn't you love to be in that position, though, Andy? World club champions, Champions League, European champions, and 18 leagues?
Yeah.
You're not comparing it to now, are you? Because if it was Spurs now... Of course, you'd say, no, well, actually, would you? Sorry, we're only going to talk about this for a couple of minutes. But say we're now, and the Premier League decided, or UEFA decided, right, whoever's top of the league now, you are the champions. I think I might take that. rather than risk those last two wins.
You never know.
I'll be like, yeah, no, I'll have that, actually. Anyway, right, let's... let's get into a bit of questions. Just sort of quick fire questions, all about you, Andy. By the way, Stato, the nickname, you probably said why you got that. I mean, people that listen to you on your Echoes of Glory podcast will work it out anyway. But why Stato? When did it start?
It's just a memory thing. I tend to remember things that are not important, like football, and forget anything that's relevant and, you know, I should remember. But, if anyone needed to know anything, I would always get text messages from mates at pub quizzes and stuff, or I just retain information that probably doesn't need to be retained.
Right, let's go through some questions. Now, nick these questions off Colin McKee's Facebook page. So, favourite club? That's easy.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Favourite country?
Australia.
Why is that?
I've been there. I've got family there that I'd love to be able to go back and see. I just like the outdoors life, sunshine. They love their sport out there. Just seems that it would be perfect for me.
Excellent. Love an early night, don't they, in Australia? Is that right? I heard that they restaurants don't open so much, very late. Is that right? Anyway.
Well, the sun goes down really early. They don't have the summertime like we do, you know, the long twilight hours.
Most hated football player?
Player? I dislike Pires with a passion. He just always scored at Whitehall Lane.
He did. He was interviewed. He did that Gary Neville programme, which I really enjoy, actually. They were talking about diving. And he said, did you dive? And they laugh. And yeah, of course I dived. And, you know, that annoyed me a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Arsenal have got this whiter than white image over the last sort of 10, 15 years. Oh, we don't dive. No. We play the game properly. We don't do hard tackles. But actually, when you look back, you know, that's the trouble. With no football, I'm flicking on Sky all the time to see what's on, and that blimmin' Invincibles comes up, which, by the way, couldn't give a monkey's about. But you do look at their team. I did give a monkey's about their team, but all of those players kicked the jacksy out of people.
Yeah, they were awesome. Yeah.
And then as soon as Shawcross injured Ramsey, oh no, we don't tackle hard. We used to. Anyway, club you hate the most?
If I'm honest, it's probably Chelsea.
Why's that?
I don't know. Coming away from the League Cup final a couple of years ago, you know, the one they beat us 2-0?
Yeah.
So Perry scored just before half time.
Goals.
Yeah. We left. I stayed to watch the presentation, but we left really quickly after that. And we got on the train, and there were already Chelsea fans on the train. And we were on the near side to the station. And we just said, like, how come you got out so quick? Guys, you're not wanting to hang around. And he goes, oh, when you've seen us win the European Cup, this doesn't count for anything. And I was just like, oh, I didn't say it, but I just thought, you arrogant, what's it?
I'd love to be like that, though, wouldn't you?
I don't think I would be like that, but given the opportunity, we'd see. But
I'm not going to do it, but I think if you wrote down in the last 10, 15 years all the times that Chelsea have got one up on us, there's probably a list of about 20 things, including, you know, the biggest one obviously being the European Cup debacle.
Oh, yes.
You know, you forget all the details. Robben missed the penalty. They had 31 chances and Chelsea had three. The fact that they were 3-1 up in the penalty shootout.
I did this on our podcast last week, mate.
I know. I listened to that and I was like, I forgot about that. All those different things that, you know, and Hazard, you know, and Redknapp has confirmed that he had a chat face-to-face in a hotel in Paris with Hazard. He was on his way. And then that happened. Oh, my goodness. And then all the semi-finals. We outplayed them in a semi-final, didn't we? And they won 4-2. Dele Alli got a great goal with a brilliant pass from Eriksen.
Yeah.
And I remember watching afterwards Shearer going, oh no, Chelsea fully deserved. And Jermaine Jennis was going, no, Spurs outplayed them. And that was kind of us under Poch a lot, wasn't it? We outplayed a lot of teams. We were brilliant, but that little bit of luck we just didn't get. Anyway, I digress. Favourite ever player?
Favourite? Klinsmann.
Oh, okay. Favourite manager? Yeah.
Poch.
Legendary player? Doesn't have to be Spurs.
For me, Hoddle. Yeah, Hoddle. Just, okay. I idolise him. But I think I didn't see enough of him because I was so young growing up.
Yeah.
But when I was, you know, when Jürgen signed and when Jürgen came back and saved us, I was like, you know, every game, every minute, didn't miss. I mean, like the 90s, I missed three home games in the whole of the 90s.
So when you say you just... Because I literally just missed Hoddle. My hero was Waddle, because that was when I got into football. We signed Waddle.
Yeah.
I remember signing Waddle. I was 9 years old, and it was like one of my first memories. And I remember him, because I remember his first season, he was absolutely terrible. And my dad
was really
like,
struggled.
Oh no, he's no good, that Waddle. So I remember that vividly. But I Hoddle was just coming to the end of his career, obviously. So I don't think I saw the best Hoddle years. Although, you know, I saw the great goal against Oxford. I was too young to see the Watford goal and all, you know, the Forest goal and the Man U goal. Do you remember any? Were you old enough to remember sort of, you know, when he scored the Watford goal?
I started going in 81-82 season.
Yeah.
Not every game, but like five or six games. So, but even then, you didn't appreciate how special he was. So a lot of what my sort of love for him has come back through watching it, you know, retrospectively.
And he got stuck in, didn't he, as well? I was watching a game the other day and it was like,
yeah.
All the things
people criticised him for, saying he couldn't do this or he couldn't do that. Platini couldn't do half the things that Hoddle could do, but people never detracted from that. And they also, the French built a team around him that had, you know, that gave him the platform to go and do what he did.
Yeah.
Whereas with England, we never really did that. But, no, you know, with Tottenham, we kind of built the side accordingly, a few rough diamonds around him. But probably still, you know, we never won that title because we didn't quite have, we still have one, maybe too many flair players in midfield.
It was a head scratcher, wasn't it?
Potentially.
Bobby Robson, his second phase, obviously he built the team around Gazza and he loved Gazza. But the first phase, he didn't play Hoddle in nearly enough games. And
no.
I remember, you know, obviously I was very young, but it was like, where's Hoddle? What is going on? And Brian Clough used to say, you know, Bobby Robson wasn't sure if Hoddle could still do it. And Brian Clough said, I'd have played him even if he had one leg, just to be sure that that's how good he was.
Well, yeah.
It's a shame I didn't get to see him. I met Glenn Hoddle and he was great. What a nice guy. So what about favourite goalie?
Pat Jennings. Now, again, that's more retrospective. I did that thing on Twitter yesterday where you post a football picture with no explanation.
Yeah.
But it's a picture of Pat Jennings with an empty shelf side, but you know, behind him in the background.
Mm.
And what it was from was a reserve game in 1985 where Jennings had come back after Arsenal had released him. And he was going to the World Cup in 86, with Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have a club. So he was, you know, just training with us and he got the odd reserve game and then he played two matches in that Screen Sports Super Cup, which came in to replace European football for just the clubs who qualify for Europe. And he played one more first team game against Liverpool in that one. But my dad took me to see him in the reserves and he kept a clean sheet. But my dad wanted me to be able to say I'd seen him play live.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I was 10 or 11 at the time. So I appreciate that. So I can always say, well, I did see him once and I saw him keep a clean sheet. But
yeah. He's a great guy, but I've gone for Ray Clements because when I was growing up, he was the goalkeeper and he was fantastic.
I understand
I've already told you the answer to my next one. Favourite defender?
That's okay. Ledley's the best defender. I don't know if I ever quite had the affection for him. You look back, you know, reverentially over him and he was a Rolls Royce of a player.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Gary Mabbutt, and I think he just epitomised everything that Tottenham were.
Do you remember Gary Mabbutt one on ones? So the player would come towards. What a tackler! Brilliant.
He was
tackler.
Very good. Very good underrated. I mean, I remember him from playing midfield when he first came to the club.
Mm.
You know, he was such a versatile player. He could play pretty much anywhere, and he scored quite a few goals from midfield as well. That first season he had, the centenary season, Hoddle missed a lot of games through injury, and Ardiles was away he was injured and had been away because of the Falkland situation. So Mabbutt played lots of games in midfield then, but I just love Gary Mabbutt, really.
Yeah, another great guy. Have I ever told you my Sally Mabbutt story?
No, go on,
so
mate.
Sally Mabbutt is his sister, and I was down in Bournemouth University, and anyway, we were out, me and my mates, and a mate of mine said to me, my girlfriend's bringing her mate along, and it's Sally Mabbutt. And I'm like, hang on, what? He goes, yeah, it's Gary Mabbutt's sister. He said, but don't say anything because she hates it. She hates that, you know, please don't say anything.
Right.
So anyway, go over to them, and like, she's standing there, quite attractive, you know, quite nice. I was like, play your cards right, you never know. So anyway, but don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything, right? So anyway, so he introduced me and I've gone, hello, so my name's Sally, all right, Stephen. And I've gone, all right, so you're Gary Mabbott's sister, right? Look down and turn straight round. I was like, well, blew that in less than 3 seconds. Got friendly with her a couple of times, like just friends, got chatting to her. And yeah, nice girl. Anyway, favourite midfielder?
Yeah, Hoddle. Definitely Hoddle, my favourite.
I've gone for Gazza with that one.
Look, you know, there's no wrong answer. It's your own personal favourite, isn't it?
What about favourite striker?
Jürgen.
I went for Klinsmann. That season was just incredible. You know, a lot of people say it, but when he used to run across the pitch like he was floating on air, getting those knees up and just his
like
passion.
A gazelle, wasn't he?
And the way he struck the ball, I think there was a goal against Leicester away, and we lost it 3-1. I think it was in Aussie Idealists. But he struck this ball. I remember my dad saying to me, you wait till you see he'd gone to the game, and he said when you watch Match of the Day, you wait till you see Klinsmann's strike. And yeah, the way he struck that ball, I think the other one was Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it, at home, and he just volleyed the ball in the top corner. Fantastic player to watch. Right now we're going to get into the random questions. Right, ready? What is the first match you remember seeing?
Seeing would have been Forest beating Malmo in the European Cup final on the telly.
My dad went to 78. That, funnily enough. I don't know why.
Did
he went to that, yeah. Oh, and that was on telly, was it? What about first match you've been been to see live?
First match I ever went to was the 81 FA Youth Cup final, second leg. We beat West Ham 1-0. Terry Gibson scored the goal.
Wow.
We had Mark Bowen, Tony Parks, Ian Crook.
Yeah,
a few players that came through and went on and did very well for Norwich. We win 1-0 and I'm 6 years old and they give the cup to West Ham. And I'm in floods and floods of tears and my dad's having to try and explain aggregate because West Ham had won the first leg 2-0.
Oh, no way.
So,
My second question is, which match made you cry? So there you go, there's that one.
Well, even at my first one, yeah.
What about the most recent match that made you cry?
Probably the first time I took my son, I think I shed a tear then.
Ah, lovely.
You would have been sat next to me if you were at that game.
I don't think I was.
Because we were sat next to each other at Wembley, weren't we?
Your nice mate was always there, good for a chat. But I don't think I was there when your son was. He may have been, but I thought probably I'll just leave it. This is your day, so I won't keep nudging you and telling you my opinion all through. No, that's lovely. That is. I definitely shed tears of joy when Lucas Moura scored. Just remember, if you listen to the commentary, I do exactly what Jermaine Jenas is doing. Just going, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
Well, the weird thing was, I was going absolutely crazy, but I had to be completely silent because I was watching it at home and our sitting room's on the same level as the children's bedroom, so they're next to the sitting room.
Yeah.
So I would have got in right trouble if I'd have woken everyone in the house up. I was doing knee slides in the sitting room, but absolutely silently and fist pumping and... As screaming my lungs out.
You've still got telling off afterwards, making too much noise.
Yeah, probably.
What's the funniest match you ever saw?
Funniest match? Right. I mean, because I've refereed, I've actually probably seen more comedy moments in games like that. there was one game where one of the teams turned up and only four of them arrived initially. Some others got lost. And then there was another game where half the team... They had an 11 o'clock meet to get to the ground for, 1 o'clock kickoff and whatever. And only one person turned up with a car. They hadn't really thought about the logistics of it. So a load of them got on the tube and tried to get there. And then there were massive tube problems. So there was only four players at the game. And then gradually I was like, well, I'm going to have to call it off. And then three more arrived and we agreed to play with seven. But they didn't all have kit and they were borrowing boots and stuff from the home team. I think they lost about 9-0. and we only played 25 minutes each way, which was completely broke all the league's rules.
Yeah.
But both teams said that they'd rather play that than play nothing at all, having made all the journey to get there. But
brilliant.
Football, so that was quite bonkers.
Football must be played at the end of the day. My funniest one was I remember I had this VHS as a kid, and I think it was Race for the Championship. 84 maybe, or
84. Yeah, I think I had that video too.
Right,
yeah.
And it's the game with Leicester in the pouring rain
in Southampton.
Yeah, yes. In the pouring rain. And I think
I remember that one very clearly.
Yeah, and they're skidding everywhere. They can't kick the ball. How that game went on? Oh, I think it lasted 25 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
But how it even lasted 30 seconds? But
exactly.
So funny. So funny.
It was. There was this one bloke mimicked swimming, didn't he, when he fell forward into it? And
yeah.
No, that was
a bit like Gary Lineker tries to dribble the ball, but none of the players are going, look, we can't possibly play. They just want to play, don't they?
No, everyone's trying. Always get that though in games, and I've done a few park pitches, but never as bad as that. But where there was like one puddle, but if a defender makes a mistake, the attacker never really capitalises on it because they don't think of the implications of what they're trying to do are going to be affected by the water as well. They just think, I've got to shoot from here or I've got to roll it in, and it just never seems to be. But I think health and safety has stopped any chance of those games ever starting now.
Right. What football match has scared you?
Away at Man City in the Cup.
Yeah.
When we won 5-1 and they came on the pitch, that was genuinely scary because Man City fans came sweeping out of there.
Do you mean 4-2?
4-2, sorry.
Yeah, with the Naeem hat-trick.
That's right. Naeem was only playing because Nick Barmby had been forced to go with the under-18s to the World Cup. Yeah. And that was a decision made by the then City chairman, Peter Swales, who was on the international committee.
Wow, okay.
That's
why they got Mustato. That's brilliant, that is.
Even Teddy Sheringham was told to miss a penalty by the ref because they were going to come on again.
Yes.
And he kind of puts it, he changes his run-up and puts it wide.
Yeah.
But even whilst it was happening on the pitch, we still knew we had to get back to the car. And it was like, genuinely like Coronation Street, with all the back alleys and the little lanes to walk through. And yeah, I wasn't comfortable then. I was, 16, 17? And I think I had a Spurs tracksuit top on.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have a choice of not wearing colours. I'd only gone in one top and that was it.
And you were
scared. It was Spurs or a Spurs shirt underneath.
That game was amazing because I remember it was a Sunday afternoon and I used to clean the cars for, my parents' car for £5 money. But I was like, do you ever see the Harry Enfield sketch with Kevin the teenager and he has to clean the cars to get some pocket money? Do you remember this sketch? And he basically
but clean the car, isn't he?
He gets back in bed at one point, he's gruffing around, was me. And I remember this game because it was 3 o'clock, I think, on a Sunday afternoon or something like that. And it was sort of 2:45 and I was walked into the front room and my dad had said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm watching the game. He said, you haven't cleaned the cars yet. So So he actually, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll record it. So he actually recorded the game and watched something else.
Yeah, yeah.
This was before Sky Digital kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to go out and clean the cars. And then we watched the game.
Oh, wow.
But it was a great game of football because we went 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And you thought, oh, hello. But then we came back. Steve Sedgley did smacked it in and done some kind of strange celebration. Then Naeem, who I loved Naeem, but his performances were few and far between when they were good. I mean, his highlight really is phenomenal. But probably the slowest player you ever saw. But he got a brilliant hat trick. And like you say, we got they got up to 4-2. Terry Phelan got great goal.
For the best goal of the season.
Great goal. And then their fans decided to storm the pitch.
Yeah, they just come out of the kippax and they came out because they'd opened the stand behind the goal that day. It was the new Umbro stand. And they came out as well. So effectively, two stands emptied.
Yeah.
And we had about eight police forces preventing them from getting to us, because we were in the lower tier behind the opposite, you know, behind the goal. Yeah. I was about 8 or 10 rows back, so really quite close.
Do you know, last week, I bet you watched these, those FA Cup quarterfinals they showed on BBC?
Yes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed those, and they didn't do it this weekend. I was really
I assume it was because it was an FA Cup weekend last weekend and not this weekend.
Yeah,
but
I love
on BT
those
Sport,
games.
I'm watching old Big Match Revisited.
Because obviously I've seen all the Spurs ones a million times, but I'd never seen, for example, Watford v Arsenal. And I even had a chuckle because of the ridiculous controversial decision at the end.
Yeah.
And I had a chuckle to myself because I was like, oh yeah, been on the back of those a few times, but yeah, happened to Arsenal on that occasion. But I really enjoyed those games because I'd never seen those before. But hopefully, put a few more of them on. And that semi that quarter final must, they've got to show that because that was brilliant, Man City Spurs. What film?
Yeah.
I'm taking this from taking these questions from a friend of mine, Brett Goldstein's film podcast. It's like a Desert Island Disc, but for films. So go and listen to Brett Goldstein's Films to be Buried With. He's a massive Spurs fan, by the way. So this is I'm changing the word film for match. So what match did you used to love, but now you don't?
Oh,
that's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what comes to mind straight away, just for me, while you're having a think there, Andy. It's not so much a match, and it's a goal. And in fact, I'm going to switch it around. It's a goal that I loved at the time, but I don't love. And people mention it all the time, and it's a goal I can't love. And it's Harry Kane's goal against Arsenal, where he curls it in. Every time someone says that, I just go no, because they equalised and they were down to 10 men, and that match is ruined by the fact that we should have gone on. I think we had another. I think if I remember rightly, we had a great chance afterwards, but we didn't care because we were 2-1 up. They were player down, and we were going to win that. And then blimmin' Alexis Sanchez comes along and scores and completely ruined the game for us. So,
can't think of a whole game, but if I do a moment, it's exactly the same as yours. And the moment is the Ledley King tackle on Arjen Robben.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's 2005, November 2005. And, you know, Robben is quick then. He's lightning quick. He's even got hair. This is how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Ledley comes from nowhere and makes a phenomenal tackle. You just don't think he's going to get there, and he does it. But Makélélé scored from that corner that Ledley concedes to make the tackle.
Oh.
So, but we do win the game. So it's not quite as, you know, it's still got an element of poignancy about it. But,
right. But if he hadn't made that tackle, Gomez would have saved it and it would have been could have been fine. No, I love Robben. He was one of those players that I'd have loved to have seen at Spurs. Oh, brilliant.
He was the kind of player that you knew we'd only get when he was 33 or something like that. You know, old Tottenham would have done that. But
I know Redknapp was linked to him at one point, but he laughed at him and said no. a game we used to love but don't really now. I don't think that works quite so much. Maybe it does.
I've tried to watch like entire cup finals back and I'm like, I'll do about the first 20 minutes and then I'm just like, all right, let's just check what time the goals were scored and I'll just edge towards that.
Yeah.
It's like if you record a game and try and watch it as live.
Yeah.
You end up fast-forwarding it because it's just, I'm too impatient. That's the trouble. It's the
modern. I hate when you watch Match of the Day and you've been to the game earlier and they show the highlights and you go, "What? How can they not show the sun chance or this chance?
Yeah.
How can they not show that? That was like the turning point of the game." That annoys me. And what match do you or what player do you have to defend? Everyone says no, he's rubbish, and you go, no, actually, I really like him.
Do you know what? On our podcast, I'm constantly having to defend anyone before the 90s because the guys just don't think of them. They don't, and I'm not blaming anyone for not reading as much about Tottenham as I do, or having a knowledge. Because my dad used to go and my granddad used to go and my uncles, then I've grown up with all of this and I have a memory for this all. But we were trying to do a So every player, the surname's got to begin with B. And they're discounting players like who've played in the double winning side because they've not heard of them. And I'm like, hang on, guys, you know, bow to me on a few of these.
Yeah.
You know, like they wanted to put, they've heard of Barry Daines, but they didn't want to put in Ted Ditchburn. Like he played 400 odd games for Tottenham.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, but so not no one specific. Probably Richard Gough. I don't think anyone really realises how good he was. Like if I have to pick a defender from Tottenham's history to defend for my life.
Yeah.
A bit Gough above Ledley King.
Well, Richard Gough, though, was a good player, wasn't he? Everyone says it. Is there anyone that comes to mind that you think... Like, I'm going to give you an example. And this is not mine, by the way, but Gary Doherty. Who, you know, the thing is about Gary Doherty is that although, again, we lost the game, he did give me an amazing moment in my life, which is when he scored against Arsenal.
Yeah.
I went absolutely berserk for that goal.
At Old Trafford.
Yeah, we were always going to lose that because Arsenal was so far superior. But that was a great moment. And, you know, he gave his heart and soul, whereas a lot of other players who are higher on the echelons didn't. I might go for the Ginger Pele as my player I have to defend. Jose Dominguez as well. I loved him.
Really? I think I saw through him.
Last question then. What's your favourite match?
This is the
one where on Brett Gulsett's podcast he says, right, an alien comes down and he says, well, what is football? So it doesn't have to be a Spurs match, although, you know, if you can think of one, you can. And you say, well, watch this match here.
Do you know what? The video I go back to of any single highlights I ever watch is Liverpool v Notts Forest in the league from about 88, 89.
Yeah, 5-0.
And Liverpool win 5-0 and they were imperious.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to get Match Weekly and my brother got Shoot. And Match used to do the ratings for the players. And do you know what? All the Forest players got like 8s or 9s in that game.
Yeah.
And they got absolute gob. But all the Liverpool players got like 9s or 10s. It was just, and I think on the night, Tom Finney said it was the finest football performance he'd ever seen.
There was a goal that I think Peter Beardsley tucked away to make it 4-0. And the commentator went, oh.
Yeah. It's just quality, really is. Houghton was outstanding.
Yeah.
Like you say, Beardsley and Barnes and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that one. Not having thought about it long and hard, I'd go for that one instinctively.
Yeah, they had a player at Liverpool who going back to that question about love and hate, who I absolutely hated as a kid, but a player to have. And I'm talking about Steve Nicol.
Okay.
When you talk about players that just play every single game, no nonsense.
Yeah.
I can't really remember anything he did specifically, but I just remember him playing in every single game. And he must have been such a winner, that guy. You know, he's I think he does American sports.
He's managed an MLS side early on. And now he's one of the big pundits on the Premier League.
Yeah, he's another guy that you know, of that sort of ilk of player. You know, when you talk about, we're not going to do transfers, definitely not. But you know, that sort of player who just will come in and just be hard and play and no nonsense and you know, a winner and all that. You know, Spurs are crying out for those sort of guys, and we kind of had them a couple of years ago when everyone was together, and then it slowly but surely is breaking up. And I tell you, mate, if we scrap next season, we're in trouble, mate. I tell you.
To be honest, Steve, we're in trouble already, mate.
Yeah, we are.
It's all broken up now.
Yeah. Right, well, when we were still in
Madrid, did you think that was going to be it? Did you think that was the peak, Madrid?
You know, funny, a couple of years ago someone said, we'll look back at the Ericsson, Sven-Goran Eriksson years as the great years, or losing on penalties in quarterfinals to Portugal. We'll look back on those years as saying, yeah, they were great England years. And I laughed at the time. And then I think we drew 0-0 with Algeria in the worst game of football I'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately in the last tournament, we sort of came back a little bit. But will we look back at these five? Because, you know, people have compared us to Leeds, but I compare us to Newcastle, where Newcastle had a good, you know, 5 or 6 year run of being fantastic. Getting to cup finals and finishing second and third in the league, winning massively important games, you know, really having a great players. They never won anything. But I tell you what, if you say to a Newcastle fan, did you enjoy those years? Not one of them will say, well, no, because we didn't win a trophy. They'd all go, oh, yeah, fantastic. So that's the way that's the way I think we'll look at it. But then again, we've got this brand new stadium. And by the way, this stadium, it's brand new. You can't go, oh, but we've got the new stadium now. Why aren't we doing this, that and the other? You've got to wait a few years. Yeah, you don't just move in and go, right, come on then, where's the trophies? First of all, you have to wait to the end of the season to win the trophies. And secondly, hello, let's settle in first, which will take a few years. Anyway, anything more, Andy?
There we are. That's all, mate, that's all. Pleasure, Steve. Thank you.